From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Chapter 11 from the Epistle to the Hebrews, a chapter often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns is giving practical insights first into the reality of true faith, and then how it manifests itself in the lives of God's believing people. The first message in the series is entitled, The Twin Pillars of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Gracious Dealing. The text is Deuteronomy 15, verse 18. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. An Israelitish master was to give his bondservant liberty in due time, and when he left his service, he was to start him in life with a liberal portion. This was to be done heartily and cheerfully, and then the Lord promised to bless the generous act. The spirit of this precept, and indeed the whole law of Christ, binds us to treat work people well. We ought to remember how the Lord has dealt with us, and that this renders it absolutely needful that we should deal graciously with others. It becomes those to be generous who are the children of a gracious God. How can we expect our great Master to bless us in our business if we oppress those who serve us? What a benediction is here set before the liberal mind! To be blessed in all that we do is to be blessed indeed. The Lord will send us this partly in prosperity, partly in content of mind, and partly in a sense of His favor, which is the best of all blessings. He can make us feel that we are under His special care and are surrounded by His peculiar love. This makes this earthly life a joyous prelude to the life to come. God's blessing is more than a fortune. It maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith.
Yeah.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a new series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith, so it is often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in our day. Before dealing with the individuals named in the chapter, Dr. Cairns is continuing to lay the groundwork for the study. This message is called The Twin Pillars of the Faith, taking Hebrews 11 verses 2 and 3 as the text. God himself witnesses to the faith of his people. He witnesses to the genuineness of that faith, to the exercise of it, and in this chapter, to the exploits of true faith. The second pillar is that faith that believes in God. It believes in the God who has revealed himself in his word, in his mighty acts, and in the salvation he has provided through the sacrifice of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a place for education, and there are other places in Scripture that would strongly command the pursuit of appropriate education. But never for a minute think that education gives understanding. There's no fool on earth as bad as an educated fool. He's a more dangerous fool than an uneducated fool. I have met people who are chock full of various bits of information. And they have the intellectual apparatus to learn many facts. But they haven't the understanding of even a child. They haven't the wisdom. It's faith that gives understanding. It's a living, vital contact with the living God that gives understanding. I have known people who, as far as education could go, could do little more than read this Bible. In fact, I have known people who, to tell the honest truth, couldn't read the whole Bible, and they stuttered and they stumbled and they mispronounced many of the big words and names of the Bible. But when it comes to an understanding of the God of that Bible, I would put them streets ahead of many a person whose education in the Bible far outstrips theirs. Now, there's no reason why the two shouldn't go together. Why you shouldn't have the education and the faith. No reason at all. I'm not glorifying lack of education. But I'm simply saying that that which opens the mind is not a conglomeration of facts. It is faith. It is faith. I remember reading the story of the great revival that swept what was then the Belgian Congo, before Patrice Lumumba got independence for that nation. It's a wonderful story. It's a little book I have called This Is That. And I read there of an African who got saved. Couldn't read. Couldn't write. And then the missionaries thought a good idea will be to put him in school and let's teach him. And he, of course, wanted to get in and wanted to serve the Lord. But in school he was a blockhead. And while others were learning to read, he couldn't learn to read. And at the end of it all, his education was just totally in vain. He was as ignorant when he finished as when he started. And he got so discouraged that finally he gave it all up. But his heart still was yearning after the Lord, yearning to know God, yearning to serve God. He would take that Bible that he couldn't read, and he would go out into the forest and he'd get alone with God and he'd cry to God and pray to God and plead with God. And as he prayed, the heavens opened and God touched his heart. And then God touched his mind. And the old brain cells that wouldn't work in the school suddenly began to work. And I have no doubt that the Lord enabled him to begin to use many things that his teachers had already told him. But what I knew is this from that missionary's story. The man who, after those days of laying hold of God and weeks of prayer and months of being alone with God, came out of the forest, and he was able not only to read God's word, but to know God's word and to preach God's word and to have revival. And more than any missionary, it was his preaching that brought revival to that area. Faith gives understanding. If you know the Lord, you'll know his word. Now you'll have to spend time in it. There are tools of exegesis and interpretation. There are rules and canons of interpretation. You don't simply come to the Bible, close your eyes, and mysteriously wonder, now what is the Lord going to show me here? Certainly you can pray, what is the Lord going to show me here? But I'm saying there are canons of interpretation that you'll stick to, but the real understanding will come by faith. It's a very important connection to make, this, the connection of the mind with belief. What you believe conditions how you think. That's a very simple statement, but actually it's a very big statement. So much for the so-called objective methods of science, especially in areas like evolution and things like that. There is the notion, you know, that the unbelievers have the scientific method, whereas we go by faith. That is the greatest misconception. When an unbeliever approaches his data, he does so with a belief that the God of this Bible does not exist. That God is not what this Bible says he is. And he begins to interpret and fashion all his information within that belief. What he believes conditions how he thinks. But it's also true of us. We do believe in the God of this book. And I will say this unashamedly. Because of what I believe concerning the God of this book, I interpret every other bit of information in that light. And there can be absolutely nothing that can run contrary to that basic belief. That's true of every man. What you believe conditions what and how you think. And as you believe God, I want you to notice where this faith starts. Where does it start? At the cross? Well, it gets to the cross in verse 4. But in verse 3, it starts at the creation. Faith first acknowledges God as creator. That's why it's important to have hymns like the one we sang just before the message this morning. A hymn that celebrates the creative power of God. Because if you don't believe in God the creator, you certainly don't believe in God the redeemer. I've often told you that Calvin's outline, his basic outline of his theology, is that man's knowledge consists of two things, the knowledge of God and of himself. And they're interdependent. But if he's ever really going to know himself, he must first of all know God. And how could he know God first as creator and then as redeemer? That's where Paul starts here. Knowledge is God as the creator. I've read famous preachers who have said, well, I personally believe in what is called fiat creation, that God commanded and creation came into being. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible that such a thing is necessary to salvation. In other words, you can believe
in Jesus Christ as your Savior and still be an evolutionist and still disbelieve in the biblical account of creation. Many great preachers have simply written off the first 11 chapters of Genesis as ancient mythology. Some of them will be a little more spiritual and say that this is a spiritual representation, but we're not to take it as being a scientific statement that, well, I want to say this. If God is not the creator, as this Bible says he's the creator, you'd be a fool to think that he's the redeemer, as this Bible says he's the redeemer. The two things stand or fall together. Faith goes back to the creation. And I want you to notice as it goes back to the creation what it says. It's saying indeed, and here you get into a big area of theology that I'm not really going to get into this morning. It's a running controversy between Reformed theology and Roman Catholicism, for instance. This verse is saying that faith, not reason, ascends from nature to nature's God. There is a notion that man's intellect can come to nature and study nature without any presuppositions, and just by the study of nature can ascend and rise up to nature's God. But that can't be done. Thomas Aquinas, the great Roman Catholic theologian, took much of that line. But it can't be done. If you want proof of that, you simply go to the vast body of, whether you're talking about astronomers or biologists or physicists or chemists, the vast body of them don't rise from nature to nature's God. And those who have risen to nature's God have not done so by reason, but by faith. Notice what it's saying here very, very carefully. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Actually, what I should do at this point is say, enlist with Dr. Barrett for a class in theological philosophy or philosophical theology and spend the next 5 years with him over at BJ in this matter. There are terms in this verse which actually are very important in the study of philosophy. I don't want to bamboozle you because I'd be bamboozling myself, no doubt as well. But if you study the philosophers, they talk about the noumenal world and the phenomenal world. That's simply the world that doesn't appear and the world that does appear. The world conceived in the mind and the world that is actually in things apparent. The two terms are actually in this verse. Not that Paul is using them in a philosophical sense, but what he's saying the things which appear, that's the phenomenal universe. The universe of the phenomena, the happenings that science can examine, that man can subject to analysis. The world of things that appear was not made of things that are seen or can be seen. In other words, this whole world of ours did not come about by anything that was already existent. It came about by God. And he spoke it into being. That's what Paul is saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.